Hey, 56 years ago today, the Astrodome opened up. The Astrodome is still standing. It is actually dwarfed if you've are listening to us in Houston or you've been to Houston recently. It actually is kind of dwarfed by the Texans Stadium, NRG Stadium, right next to it. Yeah, the Astrodome kind of looks small, but it's still sitting there. Now, the inside looks completely different than when you remember, George, the scene from the Bad News Bears when they played inside of the Astrodome.
I remember it.
What a unique place when it first opened. And now we would look at it and go, well, does the roof open up? But 56 years ago today, the Astrodome opened up and it's still standing. And I believe there is something in place that they cannot tear it down, even though that's been discussed over and over. I mean, it's on the huge piece of property on that side of Houston, not very far from Rice University. All right, enough with that. Let's chat with Brian Munson. Have you ever been to the Astrodome?
Astrodome, no. I've been to Energy Reliant, though, that you were mentioning before. Stephen F. Austin plays Sam Houston State, and Trevor was brought in for a visit that weekend. Energy Reliant is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a really weird kind of feeling being down that field. It is such a huge building. Like, looking up and at it and in lights, it was there. I almost had like a feeling of sickness. It was just so big. I don't know if I've been in a larger, like, cubic area building before in my life. It's that big.
I the times I've been to Houston, it's basically been downtown. Go to the Astros ballpark, go see the Rockets or the basketball arena. So getting out on that side of town, I was amazed at how it was cool to see from a long distance away the Astrodome as it just kind of sits there. But then you look at it compared to the Texans Stadium, and it makes the Astrodome look small when the Astrodome, when it opened up, was gigantic. It just adds to the point of what you were saying about how big NRG Stadium is.
Oh, it's... I tell you what, when we walked down on the field, so we had a very long walk from where we had to enter into like the background maintenance side and kind of walk around where we could come out onto the field where the visitors were allowed to kind of go on the Stephen F. Austin side. And trucking around that thing, number one, was I was counting my steps, right? And then number two, when we walked out onto the field and just kind of looked up, there was just this, I don't know how to explain it, man. I just had this weird feeling looking up because the way that the light was there and how big the space is, it's just, yeah, it's an amazing venue to go catch a game.
What I love, you know, we have this tendency, we're jonesing for football, any information, we get to see a little practice, we get to see videos, we get to hear from coaches. What is a key phrase or a key thing that you listen to during spring? You don't overreact, but you're looking for a certain type of thing out of Nebraska's camp.
Yeah, the game is slowing down for him.
Great point.
There are some phrases where that you hope to kind of hear that when it comes to describing particularly the young bucks that are walking around that maybe were the redshirt freshmen last year that maybe saw some time, and last year's a little bit of a different example just because of the COVID related and the shortened season. But typically in the spring, you know, you say, well, this, you know, he got here in the spring last year and he was hurt, he was dinged up, but he was able to, you know, kind of get into things during the summer and he didn't see a lot of time last fall. But this spring, after a really nice winter, things are starting to slow down for him a little bit. You know, he's getting into the playbook. It's not a challenge for him anymore to understand on a particular play, you know, what's supposed to happen, the checks, the reads, all that good stuff, particularly offensively. But yeah, that's a key phrase for me when you start talking about not just the physical development that I think has been pretty obvious from the pictures that we've been posting on Husker Online. It looks like they're out there kind of sporting those new muscles that they've got by working out with Zach Duvall. But you want the mental side to come along with it, and that's always a phrase I look for.
Hey, one guy, and you've seen him probably more than any other person, and you were on to him, is Harburg, who, mm-hmm. you know, the brief stuff we've seen and then has been mentioned is he's kind of everything we thought he'd be. Still a little bit raw, but has a big boy arm. How crazy is it that this is the first time Verduzco has seen him throw?
Pretty insane, right?
Yeah. But maybe it's in this day and age, it's kind of that's typical.
Well, possibly so, but I mean, given the recruiting window, obviously that's happened with those 2021 guys and not having that evaluation period and not having a camp to kind of go down to and kind of basing it off of junior film, you know, and having to kind of work with that. But the good news, I think, obviously, is that there was plenty of kind of unbiased resources. Mm-hmm. You gotta remember something here. When Luke McCaffrey was still in Lincoln, McCaffrey and Harburg actually worked out together at the same quarterback place in Aurora, Colorado. So there was kind of a place where you could get an idea about where Harburg was kind of at in his development. I'm sure Nebraska had made a phone call or two to kind of figure out from the trainers there, you know, like what was kind of going on, where they thought he was kind of at, you know, and all that good stuff. So I'm sure that there were ways to kind of check in on him. But yeah, for Verduzco, it was basing everything off of third-party opinion and what you were getting in your junior year film.
So if I go, and in a normal time in the month of May, I'm hopscotching the country, I'm checking out prospects. Can I work a kid out?
Not really. You know, there's some time. So you might have an opportunity to, like, where you a coach, like, let me tell you something like about what we've been familiar with. Sometimes what had happened is that a college coach shows up early to talk to that high school staff. Mm-hmm. And they'd say, you know, we're really kind of evaluating so-and-so to do these types of things. Is there a possibility we could see a couple of those things kind of worked in today's practice or today's workout? Mm. Now, another thing that kind of happens, so if you're taking an early look at a look after the December signing day at the next year's class. So if we had signed in December this year, 2022 kids, the 2023 kids would be kind of next ones up in that evaluation period that kind of happens there in the month of January. Sometimes what happens there is that schools will show up and those kids really aren't in a structured football practice, but they'll have like an athletics period or they'll have an afternoon workout. And what'll happen is like those coaches will show up, they'll be at their indoor, they'll be outside with them or whatever, and they'll have some ability to kind of coordinate and get some things through that they want to take a look at a couple of things when it comes to the guy throwing or catching or running or whatever.
Is spring ball still going to go on in Texas?
Yes. In fact, I talked to Landon Sampson, who's going to be visiting for the spring game from South Lake Carroll. And South Lake Carroll, of course, went six rounds deep into the playoffs last year, and it wasn't a traditional playoff format because of COVID. I think they ended up finishing up their season like the second to last weekend in January, maybe even the last weekend in January. But they're starting a little bit later. Like, typically, they'd be getting out there right about now, right? They would be working into their off-season workout plan, you know, and then they would be moving out to the outside here fairly shortly. They're not going to start now for a couple more weeks, and then their spring game isn't actually until after the dead period comes to an end. So I think there's some delays around COVID. I think the Texas schools are always very interested, and they're very good at it when it comes to making sure that it aligns with what's going on with the evaluation period so they can get coaches in there to look at those guys.
What do you think, you know, you felt for kids in the state of California, in the state of Illinois, that did not get their fall. They're not alone. There were other states as well. But they are playing right now. I think the state of Illinois is going into week four of the high school season. This might be week three or four in California. What are you hearing from prospects and coaches being able to watch actual games online while they're playing right now?
Well, I haven't heard a whole lot of, in that regard. Obviously, there was a quarterback that was from Calabasas, and unfortunately his name has slipped in my mind, but I reached out to him, and he had transferred from Aspen, Colorado, out to Calabasas because he and his family were fearful that they were not going to get a senior season in Colorado. So then they moved to California. And to your point, you know, after both the signing days, being a 2021 guy, he's out there and he's looking for a home. So it has its difficulties, obviously, that, you know, if you weren't this really well-known commodity, and you didn't have the camps, and you didn't have a fall season before the two signing days, even if it was an abbreviated one, if you went out there as basically an unknown guy, you might be trapped. You might be looking for a preferred walk-on situation because you're just kind of betting on yourself, or you're also maybe considering going like the junior college route, like the kid over at Iowa Western, to where you could kind of go out there and develop and then not have that requirement of an AD, you know, needed for you to kind of get out. You could get out at any point. So I think that there's some options for guys like that. It's just, it's so tough. It's so tough to hear what those guys are having to kind of do outside of like what would be like normal circumstances.
We're starting to see some names pop up with visits, whether it be self-guided tours or they're going to be in town for the spring game, or some are waiting until, you know, fingers crossed that once June 1 hits, everything is wide open. We've talked about him a little bit. What's the storyline with Reese Mooney, the quarterback out of Louisiana, and where Nebraska fits with him, maybe in a couple of different sports?
Yeah, absolutely. Reese Mooney is probably one of the better looking 2023 quarterbacks that I've had a chance to like pop in their film and check him out. The dude plays for Denham Springs, Louisiana, which is I think the second or the third largest high school in the state of Louisiana. So there's really no, you know, need to question the competition level on which he's playing at there, because he's playing at that highest level. But you know, he grew up basically the son of a huge Husker fan. His dad's been to a number of Nebraska games. He's actually been to a few Nebraska games. He's been to a Big 12 championship game over in Arlington before, and he's been to a home game up in Lincoln before when they were still doing like the construction on the north end zone. So it's been some time ago.
Wow.
But he's going to get up to Nebraska here twice in the coming weeks. Actually, he'll be there today, and I think tomorrow. I got to catch up with him. Thanks for reminding me, actually, man. So. So I got to catch up with him today to see how things are going. But to your point, he is a two-sport athlete. He's actually a University of Houston baseball commitment, probably a left-side infielder, shortstop, third base guy, big hitter, kind of a three-hole guy right now for his high school team, even though they're not having that great of a season. And Nebraska has offered him basically to play in both sports. So he wants to play both sports. That's pretty big to him. And I think Nebraska is going to be right up there on the, you know, towards the top of his list. And it's one of the reasons why when you and I have spoke before, that I never really felt like getting a guy necessarily in the 2022 class was a necessity, particularly if you had a good spring, you know, with Smothers and Harburg and Master behind Martinez, and Martinez maybe was dead set on coming back after this season again. You know, he wasn't going to be able to leap into the pro ranks, or if they were bringing in a transfer to kind of back him up, you know, after the spring was over with. So this is one of the big reasons. This is definitely betting on the come, though, because he has a lot of good schools after him. Michigan, you know, a lot of the SEC schools haven't really kind of gotten in on him yet. Ole Miss is there. But Reese Mooney, I would definitely put him at the top of the 2023 list for Nebraska.
Is he somebody that next year at this time – we'll have to worry about a Major League Baseball draft?
I think that there's a possibility to that. I think he's that good of a hitter, number one, and that's really what's going to separate you, is just how great your hands are, you know, as a hitter. And I think Reese has got some really good hands. He has some versatility. They just haven't really ever tapped into it. You know, he's played third, he's played short, he's played first, he could play the outfield positions, he doesn't pitch, he doesn't catch. So, but he's got a stick, and when he gets up there to the plate, he's a threat. So he could be a guy that, when we're talking about everything being said and done, yes, he could be potentially a Major League Baseball, you know, kind of a draftee.
Any other chatter about new names? I know local guys are going to make their way 22 or 23 for the spring game on May 1. What about any other names you're hearing? And also, do you think from the recruiting standpoint, Nebraska have an open practice next week also is for anybody that would like to just kind of wander into the stadium that may potentially play at Nebraska?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be interesting to see who actually shows up then. I haven't heard any names necessarily tied to that. I would hope that a guy like maybe like a Maverick Noonan down there. You know, I think the names that I mentioned to you before already, Landon Sampson is a guy to really keep an eye on. I got an update coming up on him. Nebraska seems to have really sold out on the idea of trying to get Landon Sampson to join Victor Jones in the class as a second wide receiver so they can kind of shut down that part of the class. Mm-hmm. Because some of the wording that Landon was using to kind of describe how Coach Lubick and Coach Frost were kind of talking to him and what the words were that they were kind of saying. I mean, they called to give him a heads up that Victor Jones was committed. So they clearly wanted him to understand what was kind of understanding or what was kind of happening there with the class and where he kind of stood at. And I think obviously Richard Torres is a guy to watch, you know, out of San Antonio. He's going to be there for the spring game. MJ Morris, who is not on our list because all he said is that he plans on getting to Nebraska sometime in April. It wouldn't surprise me if that's one of the guys that all of a sudden shows up that he's in Lincoln for some open practice like April 17th, and all of a sudden he's just there. So keep an eye on MJ Morris because Florida State would have been very, very, very high on his list, in my opinion, and Florida State just got their four-star quarterback commitment earlier this
week. Yeah, I saw that. Is this... So I'm trying to, you know, we talk about quarterbacks a lot. It just appears that this was a busy week for quarterback commitments. I mean, are we hitting the time of where, you know, some schools, this is it for them. They're playing their spring game tomorrow, summer next week. You know, Nebraska is not for a few more weeks. Are we at the prime spot of 2022 quarterbacks saying yes this frame period of the month of April at the end of spring ball?
Yeah, I mean, musical chairs, the song's about up, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these schools are only taking one quarterback typically, unless you've got something really weird going on with your roster or some coaching change or whatever. So the musical chairs game, the musical chairs song is just about done. There's only so many seats, you know, that are out there for kids to kind of grab the Division I opportunity. So, yeah, I think that Nebraska is kind of in that period of shopping, and that the guys are out there and they're well aware. They're obviously all. I mean, Alex Orji came off the board yesterday to Virginia Tech.
I saw that
you and I had talked about as well. So, I think that it's coming down to crunch time, and I think that they're kind of understanding that they're not going to get a chance to get these official visits in, and they're going to have to go ahead and make this decision based on virtual and anything else they've been able to do up to this point.
Hey, look, we'll get chatter on this. The other day, and I don't follow him on Twitter, but it was shared with me. I saw what Victor Jones was putting up with on social media, and people were coming at him pretty hard from Florida schools, and he was responding really well. I mean, he was the mature person on social media, and he was much younger than the people that were tweeting at him. Was there something where some of the Florida schools, maybe even Central Florida, thought they had him, and he decided to go to Nebraska? Because it appears there's a couple of fan bases that are pretty riled up about him going to Nebraska.
Yeah, and I think that's not necessarily unusual for Florida kids that Central Florida has offered. I think that they've been very, very, very outspoken, particularly because, you know, Scott's now in Lincoln, he's not in Orlando anymore. And they kind of measured the trajectory that they were on, even though they're in the AEC versus the Big Ten, and they kind of use it as kind of an apples-to-apples comparison. And it's a terrible comparison, number one. But number two, they seem to kind of don't really have an understanding about what would draw a player out of that state and lead him into a Big Ten school, and not just a Big Ten school, but to Nebraska of all places. Landlocked. Doesn't have a beach. Not that Orlando has a beach, but just, you know, along those same lines, just kind of nitpicking it and criticizing it, trying to plant a bug to get them to kind of second guess it. Victor Jones is not second guessing his commitment.
Oh no,
he's
all in
very,
and coming
very
to Lincoln.
Much in. Yeah, he loves Scott Frost in the way that they have basically transferred their interest in him from UCF to Nebraska. That's really stood out to him.
What do you so? It's not just Nebraska. I mean, everybody. I remember a stat. You know, the first year I was in Florida covering high school football, is all but maybe five or six Division I schools came into the state of Florida, either got a kid or they made offers. How do you think, and Nebraska's not going to shy away from Florida, how do you think Gus Malzahn being at UCF will impact some teams that want to go into the state of Florida? that are not competing against Florida, Florida State, or Miami for kids?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that between that and Heupel moving to Knoxville, I think it does a lot of different things to kind of keep things very competitive to get, I'd say, I want to call them the second tier players because they're not really that five star guy that Florida is known to be that's known to have. That, you know, there's a small quantity of those guys, but you know, or the high four star guys. But it's that next level of low four star, high three star guys. And I think that you've got mouths on at UCF. I think you've got I said that right,
Heupel. Yep.
So you have Heupel at Knoxville. He was obviously at Orlando, so he's taken all of his inroads with him back to Knoxville. He wants to keep some sort of a pipeline open for Florida kids to get up there and play in the SEC now. I think things got dialed up a notch, you know, through the coaching changes that have happened basically this offseason and what's going to happen down there. I think things got really competitive for Nebraska. Fortunately for Nebraska, from every recruit I've talked to last year and to all the kids I've talked to so far this year, if Nebraska wants you, the amount of communication that Nebraska has with those recruits is second to none. I don't care which coach, which program. It seems like Nebraska is doubling, tripling the efforts to stay in communication with those guys.
Great stuff, Brian. Enjoy the weekend. Will you be making your way to a Texas Rangers game anytime soon?
I usually get a couple of opportunities too. We got a dentist with season tickets. Actually, he's from Hastings, Nebraska as well. So he listens to me and watches stuff online and everything like that. But I usually get an opportunity or two. I haven't had that come up yet. The stadium's beautiful. That's where Trevor had his graduation. So I'd be very interested in going out there and checking out a game.
Well, that's where 38,000 people were the other day.
A lot of criticism that followed it, too, I saw.
Well, and I watched the Astros and the A's last night, and they didn't have 38,000 down in Houston, but it was still a large crowd. It was a large crowd. So we will see. You know, it is a beautiful ballpark. It is a nice little, as it's like a grill. That's what it looks like from the outside to me.
So totally gorgeous.
Hey, Brian, have a great weekend. Appreciate it as always.
Have a great weekend. Be safe.
That's Brian Munson from Rivals. The recruiting cycle turns on. I saw a flurry of commitments yesterday in the class of 2022 all over the country. Nebraska has two in 22, one in 23, and a big summer for a lot of people trying to get on the radar, whether they be locally or nationally, and the ability of programs to check them out. All right, Brian Christopherson is going to join us here in a little bit. Also, we have to discuss the baseball flopping now. Michael Conforto yesterday in the Mets-Marlins game leaned in. But there's also the part of how it was described. I happened to be watching, got home, flipped on the MLB Network, and the Mets and the Marlins were on, and got to hear the Mets television broadcast. I'm a big fan of Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, and Ron Darling. I think they make a nice trio. They were not having anything of their guy influencing that game. Then the umpire, accountability, said he missed the call. So Ron Culpa, basically, he had a mea culpa. But it showed you the problem with replay. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. Brian Christopherson is coming up here in a bit. It's Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. All right, you can become a monthly donor with the St. Jude folks. You know, we are involved with the St. Jude Telethon. Well, you can become a monthly donor by pledging just $19 a month to help kids at St. Jude fight cancer. Put your gift on a debit or credit card, and you'll get the awesome new We Won't Stop t-shirt. I think we're both wearing it today, right?
Yeah. Yep. We both got it on.
You can call now at 1-800-330-9727. The Angel of the Hour is El Rancho Restaurant, 25 years offering authentic Mexican food in South Omaha. Stop by and enjoy their breakfast, lunch, and dinner with homemade tortillas. They have the most delicious burritos in town and made-from-scratch margaritas. El Rancho Restaurant is proud sponsor of the St. Jude Radiothon, located on 21st Street in Martha, right here in South Omaha.